Right now, as we do each and every week here on Golf Exchange, it is time to go inside the ropes.
For a quick look at a number of hot topics in the world of golf this week, let's go inside the ropes.
It is the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week here discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Pat, a U.S. Open intensive Inside the Ropes segment this week, and we'll start off with the best playoff. Now, we realize that the USGA in the U.S. Open has the only 18-hole full-round playoff format. Of course, at the Masters, it's sudden death, and the British Open and the PGA Championship do a 3- and 4-hole aggregate playoff, respectively. But the USGA has the 18-hole. If you're tied after 72, you go an entire another round, 18 more holes, and we've seen some classics over the year, so I will pose to you the question, which is the best 18-hole playoff of all time in the U.S. Open? And we've got a couple of choices. In fact, we've got about 5 or 6 I'll give you. We'll start chronologically and work our way up. 1913, going all the way back to 1913, almost 90 years ago, Francis Ouimet, 20-year-old amateur, wins over British superstar Harry Vardon at the Country Club in Brookline, Massachusetts. In 1955, Jack Fleck defeated the greatest player of the game to that point, Ben Hogan, at the Olympic Club in San Francisco. In 1962, in Pittsburgh, in Arnold Palmer's backyard, a young, pudgy 20-year-old Jack Nicklaus defeated Arnie on his own course at Oakmont. 1966, Billy Casper defeated Arnold Palmer at Olympic Club. 1971, Lee Trevino defeated Jack Nicklaus at Marion Golf Club. You'll remember Lee threw a fake snake in Jack's direction on the first tee before that playoff started. And then, of course, last year, 2008, at Torrey Pines, in a what became a 19-hole playoff, because they had to go one extra hole after 18, Tiger Woods defeats Rocco Mediate at Torrey Pines in San Diego. Pat, what's the best 18-hole playoff or 19-hole in respect to last year that we've ever seen at the U.S. Open?
Excellent question, Russ. I mean, going through those, I mean, from a historical perspective, obviously I was not there, but in 1913, Francis Ouimet beating, I think he beat Ted Ray, too, Harry Vardon, who has a grip named after him, you know, two giants of the game, and Francis Ouimet was this young kid using a 10-year-old as his caddy.
A 10-year-old?
His dad wouldn't even let him go play the course at Brookline. You know, they had to sneak off and play it. I mean, you know, a great story there, and from a historical perspective, probably put golf somewhat on the U.S. map at the time. It was mainly a European game. And then you fast forward, you know, the Jack Fleck over Ben Hogan was kind of a fluke thing. I don't think Hogan ever got over that. He just always thought he should have beat that guy, and he probably should have. But one from a real historical perspective, Jack Nicklaus going into Oakmont, which, like you said, is Arnold Palmer's backyard in Pittsburgh, as a young kid, and basically beating the king, who was really kind of at the top of his game at the time, in his hometown, I think foreshadowed what you were going to get out of Jack Nicklaus through his career, the mental toughness, the ability to deal with those Pittsburgh crowds who were obviously pulling for Arnie, and to overcome all that and beat Arnold Palmer at Storied Oakmont, I think was probably the greatest. I'll throw another one. Obviously, you have last year, you know, with Rocco and Tiger, as I've told you, I've seen now ad nauseum. But but I'll throw another one at you, Russ. You know, one that people might have forgot about, 1991, Medina, Hale Irwin beating journeyman Mike Donald, who nobody heard of. 90, like you said, it went overtime over the 18-hole playoff. They had to go to 90, I think, 90th hole. To figure it out, and you know, Hale Irwin makes a ridiculously long putt to get into that, you know, playoff, and just, you know, to make putts.
That's when he went. So
I would probably put the Jack Nicklaus over Arnold Palmer as the best, you know, the Francis Ouimet kind of put golf on the map in the U.S.
For a quick look at a number of golf.
All right. You know, I tell you what, Pat, I totally agree with you. I agree with you on both instances, with the Jack Nicklaus being the greatest and then the Francis Ouimet probably being number two, just because of the significance of it. Jack Nicklaus defeating Arnold Palmer in 62. This was just 2 years after Nicklaus was in the mix as a 20-year-old amateur at Cherry Hills in 1960, when back nine at Cherry Hills in Denver, Colorado, when Arnold Jack and Ben Hogan, all three men were in kind of three different phases of their careers, and Arnold Palmer was able to win. Well, fast forward 2 years later, Arnie goes into the 62 U.S. Open as the prohibitive favorite in his backyard in Pittsburgh at Oakmont, and it was really Jack Nicklaus almost announcing to the world that he had arrived. So I do think that that was the greatest playoff of all time at the U.S. Open. Francis, we met in 13 over Harry Vardon, and you're correct, Ted Ray was also, it was a three-man playoff, the 20-year-old amateur with the 10-year-old caddy. How weird is that? His caddy was 10 years old at Brookline in 1913. That's number two for me. And then I'll go number three, Tiger over Rocco last year at Torrey Pines. That leads us to topic number two, Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic. It's our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. Handful of hot topics in the world of golf. And, of course, this week, those topics are all U.S. Open related. Topic number two, best public venue to ever host a U.S. Open. Now, we're seeing an influx of public venues these last few years. Obviously, Bethpage Black, back in 2002, became the first ever municipally run venue to host a U.S. Open. And they are, of course, back 7 years later as hosting their second. Another muni, Chambers Bay in Seattle, will host a U.S. Open in 2015. So curious to see how that goes just 8 years from now. But, of course, Bethpage, the only muni as of now to host a U.S. Open. One daily fee. We saw it last year. Torrey Pines in San Diego, a daily fee public course, hosted a U.S. Open. First time for Torrey hosting U.S. Open. And of course, it ended in a phenomenal, unforgettable way with Tiger and Rocco on Monday. And then we've got some resort courses that are, of course, open to the public if you stay at the resort, including Pebble Beach in California and Pinehurst in North Carolina. So, Pat, I ask you, best public venue ever hosting a U.S. Open?
Well, another good question, Russ. And obviously there are degrees of that. You know, Bethpage, if you're willing to wait in line at 4 in the morning, you can play it, I think, if you're a resident for something like $50. So that's at one level. Like you talk about Pebble and Pinehurst, at a vastly different level. It's going to cost you a couple $1,000. I think Pebble's probably up to $500 or $600 a round. Plus, you got to stay at the resort, which is, $1,000 a night just to stay there. So, while it may be, quote, public access, you got to have some cash to even think about playing those. With that said, and I don't have any clue about Chambers Bay, that's a new one that, like you said, we're going to get the chance to see and see what that one's like. But from a true just golf perspective, I don't care if it's public, private, whatever, Pebble Beach, I've always said, is my favorite golf course. The venue is spectacular, despite the fact that it takes you 6 hours to play around there because of all the goofballs that play. It's still worth it. It's still spectacular. And from a U.S. Open standpoint, I still think it's it gives a great test of golf. And I think Pebble is probably the number one out of all those. Unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to play Bethpage. Pinehurst is awesome. It's a great, the whole setup, the town there, Pinehurst, is really nice. It's like going back into the 40s. A bunch of great golf courses around it. And that's just a great, experience to go do that. But I'd probably put Pebble at number one and maybe Pinehurst at two. If I got a chance to play Bethpage, I'm sure it would be up there. But just because I don't have any experience playing it, I can't really gauge it. But looking at it on TV, it looks spectacular.
Well, once again, we are in agreement, Pat. It's hard. How can you not go with Pebble Beach? And obviously, technically, it is a public course, but it's a vastly different type of public access course than is Bethpage. Bethpage is a muni. Pebble Beach is one of the most exclusive golf resorts in the country, and it will cost you a lot of cash in order to get out on that track, but it's a phenomenal venue. I mean, half the holes on the course are right on the ocean, the cliffs. It's just a spectacular, spectacular place to hold a golf tournament, especially a major. And you just take a look at do the roll call of all the U.S. Opens been held there through the years and who's won them. I mean, it's the who's who in the world of golf. Jack Nicklaus in 72, Tom Watson in 82, Tom Kite in 92, Tiger Woods in 2000, Tiger, doing the rare double that year, winning the AT&T Pro-Am and then the U.S. Open in the same year on the same venue in record-setting fashion nonetheless. So, Pebble Beach is definitely the answer for me as well. Russ and Pat with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic. It's our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. Third and final topic, Pat, and we'll open up the pool of candidates a little wider for this one. Best venue, period, to host a U.S. Open, not just public venues. And it's just been announced the USGA will host the 2016 U.S. Open at Oakmont. Eight and counting in 2016 will be number nine for venerable Oakmont Country Club in Pittsburgh. More than any other course, Oakmont most recently hosted the 2007 U.S. Open, receiving rave reviews after an extensive course restoration project that resulted in the removal of 8,000 trees. Now, obviously, the candidates on this list is a slew of them. Winged Foot, Shinnecock, Olympic, Olympia Fields, Oakland Hills, Cherry Hills, Hazeltine, Pebble Beach, as we just talked about, Marion, Congressional, Oak Hill, and Oakmont, who has had the most. Pat, best venue ever to host a U.S. Open.
Completely biased on my part, Russ. I'm going with Oakmont. It's the hardest course I've ever played. It's normally in excellent condition. It just has a feel. When you step onto that golf course, Russ, you feel like this is the U.S. Open. And certain courses have that feel to them. And Oakmont, for me, I've been lucky enough to play that a bunch of times. You just get on that and you get goosebumps walking through the clubhouse, seeing all the names on the board that have won championships there. And then getting on the first tee. And here's what I love about Oakmont. The first hole is the number one handicap hole. So there's no, like, piece of cake. We're going to ease you into this thing. It says we're starting on the number one handicap hole, and it is. It's hard. 18 is hard. But the thing about Oakmont is they have drivable par fours there, depending on, you know, where they set the tees up. They have monstrous par threes in some cases. At number eight, and it just, the whole feel of it, screams U.S. Open to me. Now, with that said, you know, you mentioned a bunch of other courses there, Oakland Hills, Oak Hill, Cherry Hills, Pebble Beach. There's a bunch of venues that are great open sites and have history with them and have had great players win there. But if you ask me, a course like Oakmont or a course like Wingfoot in New York, you know, just with the tradition and the guys that designed the golf courses and the past winners of them, I would take Oakmont number one, and there's a slew of other courses in there that you could put at number two and three, but that course to me is the ultimate test in golf and the ultimate tournament in golf, the U.S. Open. I can't think of a better place to have it.
All right, I think it's going to be 3-for-3 here, Pat. I think we're going to be agreeing on all three of the topics, because how do you not go with Oakmont? It's hosted the most in eight. It'll host its ninth just 7 years from now in 2006, 9 years from now. Great math. No, 7 years from now, right? Yeah, 2016, 7 years from now. So it's already hosted eight. That'll be its ninth. That's the most ever. And you just take a look at the history of the champions there. There's a lot to be said for when a venue, you know, when the outcome of the tournaments held at a venue end up being world-class players, time in, time out, you know, there's something to be said for the quality of that venue. 1927, the first U.S. Open hosted at Oakmont. Tommy Armour won over Harry Cooper. 1953, Ben Hogan over Sam Snead. 1962, as we talked about, Jack Nicklaus over Arnold Palmer in a playoff. 1973, Johnny Miller, and during the week, he shot a record 63 in a U.S. Open. 1983, Larry Nelson by a stroke over Tom Watson. 1994, Ernie Els in a three-way playoff with Lauren Roberts and Colin Montgomery. And then a couple years ago, Angel Cabrera, who has already validated his win in a U.S. Open by winning another major with the Masters. So Oakmont, for me, is number one. Perhaps if I had to go a second place, I might go Wingfoot, because you take a look at some of the champions that have won at Wingfoot, and it includes Bobby Jones and Billy Casper and Hale Irwin in some of the U.S. Opens that have been held at Wingfoot through the years. So there's something to be said for some of those names as well, as, of course, Jeff Ogilvy the year before Oakmont in 2006. So, yeah, but I'll go Oakmont with you and make it a clean sweep, 3-for-3 agreeing today. So what do you think about that?
I don't know, Russ. You're finally drinking my Kool-Aid. You're coming to my side of things.
All right. Well, that's another award-winning edition of the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you, as always, by PGA National Resort and Spa.